Thank you, Ray. I just wanted to add to the announcement for Pope and Steph's trip. The plane tickets alone are over $7,000. So where we might be making a decision to buy a second car, that kind of money for going over for the trip, they are our missionaries to Thailand. They're with us for a little while, and we appreciate that, but we want to be a part of what they're going to be doing. They're also going to be sharing with the kids in the village. We're talking people that are pretty poor, and any little trinket so on can mean so much. So we want to be a part of their trip with them as well. So think about it, pray about it. If you can spare a little bit and help them out for that trip, that would be wonderful. They have certainly been a great blessing to us. John chapter 12, verse 34 this morning. Every culture has its euphemisms, little phrases we use without even thinking about them. And if you think about them, they probably don't make sense in context, but everybody knows what you're talking about when you say those things. Something like, it's the rule of thumb. The rule of thumb. How far apart should you put the studs when you're building a wall? The rule of thumb is 18 inches. When is it okay to wear white for a fashion? Well, the rule of thumb is between Memorial Day and Labor Day. What do thumbs have to do with studs and fashion? I can't think, but where did that come from? Well, they think it came from carpenters. If they didn't have a ruler handy, they pretty much just judged that their thumb was about an inch wide, and that's what they used for their measurement. It's kind of the rule of thumb. And so that's one of our sayings that we have. Back when Jesus walked the earth, there were some sayings that they had made sense to them, maybe don't make such sense to us. Jesus talked about when he is lifted up, meaning when he is crucified. They knew what he was talking about, and it befuddled them because they were expecting Jesus to be their Messiah, but they were also taught the Messiah never dies. So if you're the Messiah, but you're going to die, wait a second, how did these things add up? Their rule of thumb was the Messiah lives forever. If you're talking about dying, that just doesn't compute. So we're going to be talking about that difference in their hearts and minds this morning. John chapter 12, verse 34. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Father, I'm glad that you're comfortable with us being confused, because we find it a little disconcerting. But it doesn't put you off at all. We get befuddled. We turn inside out. Sometimes we get a little out of sorts and say some things to you that are not proper. But you take all of that in stride, and you're continually teaching us how we should live, how we should think, what we should feel. Don't give up on us, God. In fact, today we pray you'd press in a little bit closer and help us to put some pieces together that maybe we just didn't think fit before. And we'll thank you for your help here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is verse 34. The crowd spoke up. We've heard that the Messiah is not supposed to die. Why are you talking about that? Back up a couple of verses to verse 28. Jesus had been talking, Father, glorify your name. And the voice boomed from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. I don't know why I think of Wizard of Oz whenever I think of that voice that's booming out. I will glorify it again. And the people are kind of in shock and awe. What just happened here? Wouldn't you love it if God backed you up from heaven when you were talking? I mean, you're talking to your wife, and the Father, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. Or if you're the wife, and this is my beloved daughter, listen to her. Woo. How many of that's actually happened to you? There's the voice from heaven confirmed whatever you were saying. You're witnessing to somebody at work, and hey, he knows what he's talking about. How many have ever had? No? Probably not, huh? That would be a pretty good indication that Jesus is the Messiah, wouldn't you think? If the Father from heaven is backing up what he's saying thunderously, if you were already on that trail thinking, I think he's the Messiah, and then you heard that, you're like, yes, I know he's the Messiah. So this is all these things he's been saying and doing. They've been watching, they've been listening, they've been checking off all the boxes. Well, he's a descendant of David, and he's done all these miracles, and nobody else ever did. He talks like nobody else did. And now the thought, well, that's just, that wasn't even on my list. And there it is. This guy's got to be the guy. So while they're thinking that, Jesus says this, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Now that lifted up, John tells us, he said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. When you said lifted up, they understood somebody's getting crucified. Lifted up from the earth, put on a cross. So they've just had this affirmation from the Father, boom, you the man. And now he's talking about, well, when I die. We've always been taught that the Messiah never dies, and we just concluded you must be the Messiah, and now you're talking about dying. This does not fit together. This is not the pieces that we were putting for the Messiah was going to come, and then he was going to romp and rule. We're looking for a Messiah who's going to destroy Rome and set us free. You're talking about Rome nailing you to a cross. You see a difference between those two things? You're going to overthrow Rome. Rome's going to kill you. You see the difference there? And you're going, we were believing till you just said what you said, because it doesn't seem to fit into our pattern. Many of the people are there in Jerusalem simply because of Jesus. They were either already convinced he's the Messiah from God, or they're down the road and they're just looking for one last confirmation of this, and then they're going to be all in. They're going to follow him no matter what, and they're really hoping. They're really hoping for a revival. I think you could maybe relate to where they were. They were in bondage to Rome. Taxes were extremely high. Morality was terrible. The infiltration of the Roman thought, their polytheism, their idolatry, and everything else was just everywhere. People were asking, you know, I didn't think it could get this bad. Can it get any worse? And it just always was. And they were thirsty for the Messiah to show up and clean house. Can you relate to that? Looking for revival, looking for something new to happen. And so finally he's here. Jesus is here. He's so close. In fact, Jesus and John the Baptist were saying, repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is near. All right, it's almost here. So this is what we want. This is what we've been waiting for. And just as they're waiting for the culmination of it all, and now when I die, wait a second. You're going to rule and reign, not die. That's not the Messiah. It would be like telling somebody that the sun was shining at midnight. Wasn't the sun beautiful last night at 12 o'clock? Well, no, it's noon, yeah, but not. Or saying, hey, that my fish got thirsty. What? It's just in water. How can a fish? And what strikes me, too, who said this to Jesus? The crowd spoke up. We're used to having the Pharisees ask him a question, the Sadducees bring up a conundrum, the Herodians are going off on something. This is the crowd. These are his people. His people who've been following along, and they're getting it, and they're loving on him, and now they respond. We have heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever, so how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Now, that's a beautiful phraseology of faith, isn't it? We heard that the Messiah will remain for us, so why are you talking about death? They're accepting that he is the Messiah and can't figure out why in the world he's talking about dying here. And it's just messing with their minds. Have you ever been there? You believe, but what you see doesn't fit what you believe. And you're trying to figure out how they ever will fit together. Well, God, you promised me this, but this is what's happening right now. And Ellicott, they also ask, who is this Son of Man? Ellicott puts it like this, who is this Son of Man? The Son of Man we've always heard about as out of Daniel, he will rise, he will conquer, he will live forever. You keep referring to yourself as Son of Man, so we figured you were that Messiah. Now you're telling us you're going to die, so you can't be that one. Who is this Son of Man? That Son of Man we always heard about, are there more than one Son of Man that we need to be concerned about? You don't fit the bill if you're going to die. So they got to fit these two thoughts together. You do miracles, voice from heaven, wow. So the only way they could fit it together, there must be more than one Messiah. There must be more than one Son of Man. That's all, because it doesn't fit together in the same package. Now, you and I, in hindsight, can say, oh, well, yeah, he died, but he rose again, and he lives forever, and that's how it was all worked out. Wouldn't it have been nice of Jesus just to look at them and say, whoa, I can see you're confused here, so let me explain it to you. It's not what he did. It's not what he said. And again, he answers their questions with like these puzzles. It's like he hands them a Rubik's Cube that's all been messed up. Here, when you get this all figured out, it'll be a great moment for you. But for right now, you may not understand everything that's going on. Verse 35, he says, then Jesus told them, you know, they're wondering, why are you talking about death? Then Jesus told them, you're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes. Why is he talking about light for? We're asking if he's going to die. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. When he had finished speaking, catch this, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Wait, but foul time. You just filled us up with a conundrum and then you hid yourself. God ever hide himself from you? Now, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. But sometimes he doesn't talk. Sometimes he's not doing great stuff right out in the open anyway. Sometimes he just tests us. In fact, in this particular instance, he confused everybody and then he hid. You can imagine the press corps saying, well, just to say one more question, would you clarify what you meant by poom? Where'd he go? This is our Jesus. The same Jesus that walks on water in the middle of a storm, the same Jesus who is very clear and powerful at some points, is also sometimes he goes and hides. And we're, ah! And then we get mad at ourselves because we're, ah! But that's part of the process. You need the confusion before you get the aha. And the aha is so much more satisfying after you've been in a conundrum for a while. Jesus is asking them to believe in him, even though in the short run, it wasn't going to look like he fit the bill for being the Messiah. When I am lifted up, you're, back the wagon up. We were thinking you were the Messiah. Now, are you the Messiah or are you going to die? And Jesus said, yes. You must not have heard us, Lord. Are you the Messiah or are you going to? Yes. Okay. Oh, well, let me ask it this way. Are you going to die or are you going to live forever? Yes. I must not be saying this right. Did you hear what I asked him? And he went, light. Walk in the light while you. I'm in the dark. I'm sorry. I don't understand what you're trying to say. Jesus will at times blow your socks off with miraculous answers to prayer, and at other times seem not to have heard your prayers at all. There are times when God has done things for me I didn't even ask him to do. I wouldn't have had the chutzpah to ask him. I mean, he has been so sweet to me, so kind to me, so generous to me. It blows my socks off. Lord, you're so kind. I kind of wanted that, but I wouldn't have never asked because you've already been so good to me. And sometimes he does more than I ask him to do. And then other times I wonder, I just read that scripture this morning. You know, he who knocks, the door will be open. You know, he who asks, seeks, finds, and all that. And so when I went to, I said, Lord, I'm still knocking. You answered that, and I really appreciate that. But you know, there's this one thing that we've kind of been knocking for a long, and the word says, you see, yeah, you know, it's not happening. Why, you know? And so I just want to normalize that for you. Maybe you thought you didn't have a whole lot of faith, or you got mad at yourself that sometimes it didn't work and all of that. You know, there are these people who will tell you every time they lay hands on somebody, they get healed. Everybody they talk to, you know, they always have just the right answer all the time. I don't trust those people. I don't know about you. For a while there, I felt kind of guilty, like, boy, what kind of a, you know, spiritual wimp am I? You know, these people are, wow, everything. And I was saying, I could just go to the bars. And I've come to know, I just don't trust those people. Maybe God does use them mightily in some places, but all the time, even the disciples had trouble with a demon or two casting them out when Jesus came by and helped them out. And it just, sometimes the Lord says something to us and we get all excited and we're ready to go. And next thing we know, pow, right into a brick wall. Whoa. I got all geared up. I was flying high and smack. Welcome to the Christian life. You know, welcome to the Christian life. Who you are after you smack the wall, that's really a larger measure of your faith than if you never hit a wall. Some people think that if you never have any trouble, well, that's the faith-filled person. First of all, there aren't any of those people that never have problems. But what it produces is a lot of liars. They tell us they never have any trouble, but, you know. But man, when you got the report you didn't want to get from the doctor, when, you know, you got laid off, whatever, and you, though he slay me, yet will I, that's faith right there. And the Word of God works a little bit like, he told you, your team's going to beat the Yankees. And so you buy a ticket and you go to the game and you can't wait. My team is going to beat the Yankees. And you sit there and you lose 16-0. Hey, I thought you said my team was going to beat the Yankees. Oh, but I didn't say today. But I bought a ticket for it. Well, that was on you. You wanted to buy it. I hope you enjoyed the hot dog. Well, $5 for a hot dog. And wow. Was it Lucy in Chronicles of Narnia who said, he's a lion, but he's not a tame lion? You won't control him. You won't tell him how he's going to do it. Oh, you can expect whatever you want to expect, but he'll do as he pleases. Now, added on to that, he is good. And he does better than what we ask him to do, but it can be awful discouraging. It can be awful deflating when he doesn't do it in the time frame or in the way you were expecting him to do it. Lord, I was trusting you too. Yeah, I didn't. I noticed. What are you up to? Oh, come on. Don't hide now. I need you to talk into my life. I need you to explain this to me. I really need some help right now. He knows what we need, and he knows when we need it. How many have found out throwing a tantrum really doesn't affect him at all? Holding your breath till you turn blue and everything. He's all good with that. He's all good with that. And I've learned in life, no one gets a free pass, an unchallenged belief, an untested life. You witness to somebody, they get saved, and it seems like the first season they're in is everything they're praying for is coming about. They see miracles. All this stuff is coming together. They're loving it. This is great. I love being a Christian. And then a little bit down the road, what just happened? I've been praying, and nothing's been happening. Nothing's coming together. I asked for this, and that happened. Just the opposite of what I was asking for. And we wish we could carry them and pick them up through the hard seasons and get them to another. You know, we've talked about helicopter parents for a while. You know, the kid will go off to college and they'll write a letter to the professor. My kid deserves a B+. That was a hard project. And, you know, like that really impresses professors or whatever. You know, you get the soccer mom who's out on the field. The kid run out on the field and they push the other kid over and don't you kick the ball, that's my son's ball, he's trying to get a goal here. You know, helicopter parents, they're just trying to live life for them and protect them from anything so they never grow and develop and learn how to get disappointed and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes we have helicopter ministers and we just don't want anybody to suffer because we don't want them to not believe, and we want them to trust everything that we said was going to happen. And all we preach is just fluff and ice cream and cherry on top and happy, happy, joy, joy 24/7. And if you trust, God's going to do it. You don't have to worry about a thing. Nothing bad's ever going to happen and so on. And then Monday comes. And boom. Oh, no, it didn't really happen. See, because this and that. And we're trying to smoke and mirrors and try to do God's job. We don't want you to get discouraged thinking God's not working because, well, he's not working right now. So I'll fill in the blanks until he does. You hear what I'm saying? And for all of us who walk in Christ, there will be desert experiences. We have been born again into a land of milk and honey. There is great abundance, and God is good, and he blesses us abundantly. But there are also these desert seasons, even in the promised land. There were times of famine. There were times of drought. 3 years of famine. Are you kidding me? Ha! And God was working in the midst of it all. But we cannot rescue one another from those times that are so desperate and dry. We pray with them. We love them. We counsel with them. We do what we can. We weep with them when they're crying. But don't you wish you could just kind of jumpstart a few things and say, well, God, let's jump to the end of this thing. And if I could pray more, if I fasted, if I this, if I that. And you've done everything you can do. But God is still staying silent for a little while. And nobody gets away from that. Nobody gets all of their prayers answered just like that. Nobody has everybody healed they lay their hands on just when they do. It just doesn't work that way. And it builds our faith, not in us, but in him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. When I don't understand, I'm going to continue to trust. He said, walk while it is light, because the darkness is coming. When you live in a house, you get to know where everything is, right? And if you need to use the facilities in the middle of the night, you know where it is. You don't need to turn a light. You don't need a flashlight or whatever. You kind of figure it out. And during the day, you memorize the path, and now you can. My mother-in-law took care of an elderly aunt some years ago, and sometimes they stayed at the elderly aunt's house, and sometimes they stayed at my mother-in-law's house. And both of them had the experience where in the middle of the night, they needed to use the facility, but they forgot which house they were in. And so they were filling along the wall for a door that wasn't there, because in the other house, the door was on this side, but they're in the other house. And then they would laugh about it in the morning. You know, I was trying to find a bathroom, and there's a wall everywhere I went. You know, this kind of a thing. And life can be like that. When the lights are on and God is pouring out his anointing and his blessing, life is fun. And there's joy, and it's great. But every one of us will go through seasons of desert. The lights are off now. Wait, turn the lights back on. No, it's not going to happen. Well, what am I supposed to do? Whatever you learned when the sun was shining, apply it now. You said, oh, he's faithful. Okay, now's the time to believe it. Oh, he hears me every word that I pray. Okay, now it's the time to believe it. You know, he will make a way where there is no. Okay, now's the time to believe it, because now's the time it doesn't seem like there is any way. Walk while it's light, so that when it gets dark, you know where you're going. And Jesus was saying to them, I know you don't understand this whole lifted up thing. It's going to get dark. But embrace me now while you have me. And endure the dark time. Because the joy is coming after it's all over. Walk in the light while you have the light. If your life is sweet right now and it's going good, hallelujah. Thank God. And all these things that you're hearing, memorialize them. Don't second guess, put it down. Jesus is the Lord God, Savior, heaven and earth. He takes care of me. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be afraid. He's with me. I appreciated something Alistair Begg said this last week. He said he was convicted that his own prayers were so ungodly. He said, what do we almost always pray? Lord, be with me. Well, what did Jesus say? I will never leave you or forsake you. So why in the world would we ever pray, Lord, be with me or Lord, be with them? Duh. That's kind of like saying, liar, liar, pants on fire, isn't it? And yet we pray that all the time. But when you're walking in the light, believe it. So that when you're in the dark, well, Lord, I may not feel your presence right now, but I know you're right here. You may be acting like you can't hear me right now, but I know that you can. You ever, you know, being married is a tremendous experience. It's funny how you can yell and your spouse can't hear you. But you mumble something, they heard every word. What was that you said? I love you, dear. Just how that travels like. Well, our Father in heaven, he's got ears for both, high and low, mumbling, shouting. He's got it all. Lord, you may be acting like you don't hear me right, but I know you do. And I know my prayers count. And so I'm going to keep on praying, and I'm going to keep on trusting you through all this. Then when it gets dark, you're going to be able to find your way because he's faithful. Oh, where am I? Where am I? I'm in the Father's care. I'm in the Father's house. I know exactly where I am. I'm right in the center of God's will and his covering. I don't have to worry. I can't see right now. I don't have it figured out. I don't have to figure it out. That's above my pay grade. He's got it all under control. You know, can you imagine how dark it was on that Good Friday when Jesus was lifted up on that cross? Literally, it got dark from noon until 3. It was pitch black. But how dark for the souls of the disciples. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to deliver us. We thought he was going to overthrow Rome, and now Rome has crucified him. I guess we lost. That's it. It's just done. But if they would have understood what he said when it was light, when he was with them, all they really had to do was wait until Sunday. And Sunday would be glorious. But don't beat yourself up because you got discouraged on Friday for what you just saw. I mean, my heart, that's a terrible thing that just happened there. But keep your faith knowing that he's coming. See, sometimes even the best of us can get discouraged. We can say, wow, I just want to go home to be with God. I can't handle this any longer. This is too hard for me. I mean, to watch Jesus get crucified, who in the world would be up to that? No matter how many promises or whatever else, that's just a hard, stinking day. And sometimes when you get the news or grief hits your family, it's just a hard day. And nobody expects you to set off fireworks and do a little dance or a jig. Not at all. It's just a really hard, it's dark. It's dark. Didn't Jesus say to them, You will be in sorrow while the world rejoices, but then your joy will burst forth. Jesus recognized they would be trashed by this. And the Lord loves us. He's watching over us. But he knows that some of the events in our lives are just going to trash us. They're going to bring us to our knees or to our faces in the dust. Lord, this hurts so bad. Yeah, it has to, because of what I'm preparing on down the road. I shared with you before, when my son was 2, we went to the dentist, and the dentist found that he had a cavity and said, well, we're going to make another appointment. We're going to fix the cavity. And he said, Josh, now when you come back, I'm going to take Mr. Sleepy Spray, and we're going to squirt it in your mouth so that it makes your mouth feel all tingly and funny. And then we're going to take Mr. Fire Engine, and we're going to come in there and we're going to fix that cavity, okay? And on the way home, I said, Josh, I got to be honest with you. Mr. Sleepy Spray is a needle, and Mr. Fire Engine is a drill. And Josh, no. The dentist told me it was a fire. I know what he told you, but I don't want you to go in there and, you know, kind of be blindsided by, no, Dad. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay, that's fine. You know, he came out of the second visit and said, Dad, you were right. Mr. Sleepy Spray is a needle and Mr. Fire Engine is a drill. Well, you know, sometimes in church, we pastors, we're saying, now this week, Mr. Sleepy Spray is going to come visit you. And Mr. Fire Engine, isn't that exciting, is going to come visit your life, and God's going to be doing a work, and it's going to be wonderful. When the scriptures is telling us, yeah, we're going to take this needle about this long, and we're going to stick it in there. And then just about when they pull it out, and you say, oh, good. Oh, we put it in again. And we wiggle it around a little bit. And then they get that wagga wagga drill. Wagga 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 wagga. Now, let me know if you're uncomfortable. You know. Oh. The scripture's giving it to us straight. In this life, you will have trouble. And us preachers come along and say, no. Let's just sing a happy song together. It'll be all right. If you have enough faith, you want to, you know, what I'm saying to you is, okay, maybe right now your life is like you're in the vice. God is with you now. You'll get through this. You'll be better for it. You don't have to enjoy it, but you can trust God. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. God loves me, and he's helping with everything that's going on. You know, someday soon, all our questions will be answered, all our riddles solved, and all our puzzles completed. Oh, so that's what that was for. You ever find something around the house and you say, what is that for? You know, we better hold on to it just in case we find out we're missing a whatever that is. You ever do that? Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of what life is like. I have no idea why this just happened to me. A person as nice as me, and that should, I can't figure that one out. I think I remembered my morning devotions. I gave a little extra in the offering. I, you know, was nice to the neighbor the other day, and I can't figure out why this would happen to me. That's not a punishment. No, it's just part of the process. And someday, all our questions will be answered. All our riddles solved, and all those things will fit into play. Oh, that's what that was for. So the trouble we have now is really a small price to pay for an eternity when there's never any pain, trauma, frustration. Wow. So we can do a few more weary days, right? Okay, it's been really hard and extreme sometimes, maybe even lately. Just a few more weary days, and then, woohoo! I got a first-class ticket to Glory Land. He is already glorifying us through all this trauma that's going on. In the process of being glorified, wow, like getting a tooth repaired or getting a joint replaced or something like that. But we look forward to the end result. We trust the dentist. We trust the surgeon with all of these things. We will dance on streets that are golden. The glorious bride, the great Son of Man. All our worries gone. Wow. And all we have to do to qualify for that place is simply believe. Lord, I believe. I don't understand, but I trust you. Would you stand with me this morning? I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I simply know that his right hand stands one who is my Savior. Friend, trust him.
Before I knew my Savior, my Savior.
Jesus told his disciples, in a little while you won't see me. And then after a little while you will see me. And I think that's a word to all of us. There are times in life we just don't see him. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh, Lord, I don't feel your presence right now. But I trust that you're here. In a little while you won't see him, but then in a little while you will see him. And whatever was grieving, whatever was hard, will be the aha, the fodder for the aha moment. Oh, yes, you were here the whole time. I didn't know what you were doing, but now I can see how you worked that out. These pieces fit together perfectly. You did it again. Duh. He's a good, good Father. Lord, I'm sorry that we're the disciples in the boat who have so little faith. We're worried the ship's going under while you're sleeping. We're sorry we're the ones of little faith that when you're talking about one thing, we're thinking about food instead. Oh, Lord, thanks for being patient. Thanks for using the original disciples and still using us. And we do pray for any of our brothers or sisters who are in a valley right now, who are in a desert season. It's okay. We've been there, probably going to be there again before it's all over. But we have found you faithful. What we have learned in the light, we're learning to apply in the darkness. Help us to do it better than ever, God. When I was a boy, I was afraid of the dark. But Lord God, with maturity, I've come to embrace the dark. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to do that spiritually, that we will no longer be afraid, but that we will trust you through every season of life. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. God bless.